It's in the first Aliyah Parshas Ekev. Counter Mitzvah Yeraisa, Torah commandments, so to speak, of our Torah commandments. We have the mitzvah of Birchas HaMazon, benching. The pasuk says, Hashem is bringing you to an Eretz Tov, Eretz Nachlei Mayim, a land of springs of water. Springs and depths that come out in the valleys and in the mountains. Eretz Chito Sarah, Gephantina Barima, in a land of wheat and barley, grapevines and fig trees and pomegranates. Eretz Yishem and Rosh, olive trees, honey, which is date honey. Eretz Asher, Uloy Bimiskinus Techal Balechem, a land that bread isn't eaten in small measure. Nothing is lacking in it. Lesechsa Koba. A land that has stones that are barzel, that are iron, and the tops and the from its mountains, you'll be able to quarry copper. Yachalta v'savata, or mine copper, yachalta v'savata, you will eat, and you will be satiated, you'll be satisfied. And you will bless Hashem, your God, on the good land that He has given you. So, we understand this is not just, wow, it's amazing, we thank our Kodesh Baruch Hu for Eretz Yisrael, but we also have an obligation every time that we eat. You eat and you're satisfied and you shall bench. Right? We know this pasuk very well from the first bracha of benching where we quote it. As it is written, you should eat and be satisfied and bless Hashem. Chazal, of course, understood that we are supposed to not only give a bracha on the savata, on the satisfaction. We also thank our Kodesh Baruch Hu separately for the oretz, for the land that He gave us. That's the second bracha of the benching. Hatayva for the Beis HaMikdash. We thank our Kodesh Baruch Hu for the food that we have and for the land that we have. And this is a mitzvah d'oraisa, a bracha that we're obligated to make that is explicitly taught in the Torah. Interesting to note that there are actually two brachas that we are taught explicitly in the Torah that we need to make. One of them is this bracha that we just mentioned, Birchas HaMazon, which everyone is familiar with. And the other example, the other obligation that we have when it comes to making brachas is what is known as Birchas HaTorah, the bracha over learning Torah. The bracha which we make when we learn Torah, which is also a Torah obligation, that we're supposed to make the brachas, Ki Shem Hashem Ekra HaVugayda L'Lekeinu. The Gemara learns out that we have an obligation to make a bracha before we learn Torah. The bracha before learning is the Eraisa. And the bracha after eating is the Eraisa. Those are the two brachas that we make min HaTorah. In fact, of course, it is clear that the bracha of Birchas HaMazon after we eat is more explicit of an obligation, as it says, V'achalta v'savata uveirachta. But nevertheless, Chazal, the Gemara, understood that it was also, again, a Torah obligation for a person to make Birchas HaTorah before we learn Torah. And it's an interesting thing that Birchas HaTorah, the bracha over learning Torah, is made before we learn Torah, whereas Birchas HaMazon is made afterwards. Now, you know, we make brachas before we eat also, and the Gemara learns that out. The Gemara has a question exactly what the source is. The Gemara seems to, you know, go to discuss it, that it's a svara, it's logical, that a person shouldn't benefit from this world without asking permission from HaKadosh Baruch Hu first, or without acknowledging that it's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu first. But the Torah obligation of bracha that we give is Birchas HaMazon, which is the bracha that we make after we eat. And it stands in contrast to Birchas HaTorah, which is a bracha that we make before we learn Torah. We have to understand why the natural place for one is the bracha after, and the natural place for the other is the bracha before. This is the issue, the question which I want to deal with you here today. Now, the idea of Birchas HaTorah, the idea of a bracha that we make over the Torah, is given great significance, not only because, again, it's the Eraisa, it's found in the Torah. Maybe it's a Ramban counts it as a mitzvah d'oraisa to make Birchas HaTorah, to make a bracha before we study Torah. I believe. But there's another aspect to it, a significant aspect, which is fresh for us from the period which we are just coming away from. Less than a week ago, right, Monday night, a week ago, was Tisha B'Av. Today was Tu B'Av, the day of comfort. But last Monday night was Tisha B'Av. And in a little bit, you know, about an hour from, in an hour, a week ago, we started reading the Megillah of Eicha, about the mourning over, lamenting over the destruction of Yerushalayim, over the Beis HaMikdash. And on Tisha B'Av morning, we read a Haftarah from the Nevuah of Yirmiyahu HaNavi, which, of course, the Book of Kinos is also from Yirmiyahu HaNavi. This Nevuah of Yirmiyahu HaNavi is from Perek Ches and Tes, the 8th and 9th chapters of the Book of Yirmiyahu. And there, in Sefer Yirmiyahu, there in that Haftarah, we find the verse describing the shocked observation of the people of the world as they see the state of the land. They see the state of Eretz Yisrael. And they ask, Amo of the Haaretz, why was the land lost? Why was the land so terribly destroyed? Right? And the pasuk continues after it just describes the destruction. Amo of the Haaretz, excuse me, I'm just turning to the phrase, Nizisoka Midvor Mibli Iver. Why was it broken up like a desert, Mibli Iver, without passers-by, or parched like a desert, they translate here, without a passerby. Ayemer Hashem, and Hashem says, Alos Vomes Tairosi, Asher Nosati Lifnehem, because they left my Torah that I placed before them. Vayshamu B'Kaili, Vayhelchuba, they didn't listen to my voice, and they didn't go in the path of the Torah. Instead, they went after Shirus Libam, after what they wanted. They didn't go after the Torah. So the Gemara in two places, the Gemara in Maseches Bav Metziah, and the Gemara in Maseches Nedarim, I think Daf Pei Hei in Bav Metziah, and Daf Pei Aleph in Maseches Nedarim, the Gemara says, Dovar Zeh, this matter about the destruction of the land, they asked its reasoning, they asked it of the Nevi. Maybe I got it backwards one second. See the question why the land was destroyed. The pasuk prefaces it by saying, "Who is the wise man who can understand this?" Says the Gemara, this matter was asked of the sages and the prophets, and they didn't explain it. Himself explained. And what's that? I was Maserasi, says the Gemara, Amrav Yehuda Amarav, Shalei Birchu Ataira Tchila. He says it's that they did not make a bracha before they studied the Torah. They didn't make Birchas Ataira. That was the failure of the Jewish people that caused the land to be destroyed. And we have to understand what's going on. What's the drasha? What does it mean over here? And this famous little passage in the Ram over here in Maseches Nedarim, who quotes Megillah Storim Shel Harav Rabbeinu Yaina. He quotes a certain source, and he says that the way we are to understand it, the Kra Hachi Dayek, the way we are to understand it is as follows. When he says that it's because Al Shalei Berchu that was because they hadn't made a bracha on land, because what the Gemara was troubled by was, why was it so hard for people to figure out what had happened? What does this mean? They asked the Chachamim, they asked the Nevi'im. If the Pasuk says that they weren't going in the Torah, they weren't following the ways of the Torah, that should be self-evident. Why does it require a rocket scientist or a prophet or a sage to be able to figure that out? So it must be, says the Ran, Halaydavar Golihu, the Kalifarish. It's obvious, and it's easy to see it, and it's easy to explain. Ella, rather, he said, Vaday Asukin Hayu B'Torah Tamid. They were involved in the Torah all the time. Ulafikach Hayu Chachamim Neviim Tmeim Amav the Haaretz. That's why the sages were wondering, why did the land get destroyed? Until Hashem explained it, because it was a subtlety. He knows what's deep in our heart, that we didn't make a bracha on the Torah first. Meaning, the Torah wasn't so significant to them that they should make a bracha over it. They weren't studying it for its own sake. And that's why they did not bother with its bracha. Says, explains the Ram, that it wasn't that the Jewish people weren't observing Torah, which is the way the pasuk sounds. Because if it was the way the pasuk sounds, then why was it such a great discovery that this is what they were doing wrong? It's obvious that the Jewish people aren't following the Torah. The answer is they were following the Torah. They were even studying the Torah. But they didn't study the Torah with the proper respect and reverence that a bracha before the study of Torah would show, that a bracha before the study of Torah would imply.
Who were their teachers?
I don't know what you mean.
Don't they have to be taught that that's important?
Maybe the teachers didn't teach. Maybe they didn't. It was a problem, a collective problem of colleagues. Sir. Whether the teachers taught and the people failed to accept it, whether the teachers failed to teach it, it was a wholesale problem in the.
Well, wasn't it part of the davening like it is today, like before the prophets? You say it.
No, it wasn't that. In the days of the Navi, it wasn't part of the davening like it is today. They didn't have the davening the way it is today.
You think that's why they put it in?
It certainly assures that we say it before. Does it assure that we have proper respect for the Torah? I'm not as sure. Rashi writes the same punchline. He doesn't go through the whole process. Rashi writes the same punchline of Metzia and Daf Pehek. They did not, when they were Eisek B'Torah, they didn't make a bracha before it. And Rashi says the nuance is because it says, that I gave before them. And that's the bracha of Asher Nosan Lonu Teras Emes, or Asher Bochar Bonu Mikola Amin. Right, the Bach changes it to She Lufanea Shoti Vei Teretz, before we say the words of the Torah. But even the Loi Mavarchi. And since they don't make this bracha, Gal Yedatayu She'enu Matana Chashuvalem. They showed that it wasn't something significant for them. That it wasn't something significant.
Is this supposed to be describing a reason for the Hurbah?
Yes, this is
which
what.
One?
Which one? Well, this is the Nevuah of Yirmiyo. Yirmiyo was the Navi over the Churban Bayis Rishon, the first Beis
HaMikdash. So if this was the Nevuah of the Churban Bayis Rishon, didn't Chazal say that they had, they were of the Avodah Zarah and
yes,
all the three major cardinal.
And the Nevi'im are filled with additional elements and reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And there were things which were going on, Gilei Arayos, Shvichus Damim, and Avodah Zarah, that were there. That's what the Gemara says in Yuma and Daf Tes, and that's what we have in the Nevi'im. It describes things like that going on, which makes us wonder why Yirmiyahu is even asking the question what
right.
This is looking for. Right? Evidently, this is a question which is asked. I'll just give an answer, which is that he asked. It was totally destroyed. Mitzisah kamibor b'liyaver was like destroyed, made into a desert. And those averas of Gilai Shvichas Dam and Avodah Zarah, which were promulgated by Malchei Israel, by kings, and so on and so forth, and performed amongst the Jewish people, but were they wholesale? There were no faithful Jews left in the days of Yirmiyo. But what we have over here is that even amongst those where things looked right, there was still something missing. And what was missing was this, chashivos, the significance of the Torah, to make a bracha on it before you study it. And that idea for itself, that they would be machshavit, and they would appreciate it, is something which is in its in and of itself something that's significant. You could ask, maybe the bracha should be made afterwards, which would show that we would appreciate it more. Again, in a certain sense, perhaps a restatement with a fuller appreciation based on this context. When you bench after you eat. And you appreciate, you bench after you eat. Maybe the appreciation for Torah would come after we have the words of Torah, so that we're going to be able to have them and express an appreciation for them afterwards. We don't have such a problem. The Torah doesn't mandate making a bracha before we eat. Poshut, simply, the idea, if we're going to learn this idea from Rashi, is the idea of appreciation of it. A person before they eat, they're hungry. A person before they eat, before we eat, we're hungry. And so we know that we're looking for something. And that we know that we want that something. And we are machshav that something. We consider that something significant. We may not consider that something significant in the spiritual realm, but we consider that something significant because of the fact that we need it. And therefore, a bracha before for appreciation, in a certain sense, is not needed for the food itself. The bracha is not needed for the food itself. Chazal tell us, our sages teach us, that we should make a bracha before we eat. Because it's very important, before you take something, you have to acknowledge where it came from. But the bracha before, as something of appreciation, of wow, this is a great gift, that's not the nature of a bracha before we eat something. A bracha perhaps before studying of Torah, where a person doesn't necessarily have a hunger or a thirst. And a person just sits down to study the Torah. The bracha before studying the Torah could be that which is supposed to bring an appreciation of what it is that the person is about to do. And it gives us perhaps a sense of direction that the bracha of eating is a bracha we make afterwards when we don't eat anymore. V'achalta v'savata uveirachta. Let me remind you of something which we have later in our own parsha. Later in our own parsha, we have the mitzvah of reading the second paragraph of Shema. We have the second paragraph of Shema. V'choyeh in Shemaya tishmur mitzvah yisrael. And you know that paragraph well, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I promise you, you'll do listen to my mitzvahs, you'll have rain and plenty and great crops and so on and so forth. And then it says, and you'll eat and you'll be satisfied. V'achalta v'savata. You'll eat and you'll be satisfied. That's the second time in our parsha where we have the expression V'achalta v'savata. You should eat and you should be satisfied. Except this one doesn't have a happy ending. It doesn't say, and you will bless Hashem. This one says, Hishamru lachem penifta levavchem. Be careful lest your hearts stray. Lest your heart stray at this point in time. And you'll go and worship other gods. Says Rashi, Kivan shetiu echlim usveim. When you eat and you are satisfied, Hisham lachem shalai tevatu. Be careful lest you kick, lest you rebel. She'in adam meirid v'akadosh baruch hu ela mitech svia. Because a person rebels against Hashem from what? From svia. From being satisfied. From being satiated. It is in fact svia, it is in fact being full, that makes a person rebel against Hashem. And the Chazal brings many parallel sources for this idea. Rashi himself quotes Pentechal v'Savata, you'll eat and you'll be satisfied, and you'll build nice houses, and you'll settle in them, and you'll have art, and your heart's going to be lifted up, and you will forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'ramu v'avecha v'shachachta. When a person is full, when a person doesn't feel needy, so then they don't necessarily turn to Hashem. There's no such thing as an atheist in a foxhole. When a person has need, the person turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when a person is satisfied, then the person doesn't necessarily turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we have here, V'chalta v'zavata yishamru lachem, the preemptive strike, so to speak, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs us v'achalta v'savata uveirachta. At the moment of satisfaction, when the bond, the connection between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the person is likely to be broken, because in a certain sense, the bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be built, unfortunately, but truthfully, is going to be built to some degree based on need. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you don't need him anymore. Now we give you the mitzvah to be mevarach, and now we give the mitzvah to bench. The mitzvah of Birchas HaMazon comes specifically, therefore, afterwards. Before, it's easy. Before, perhaps it even goes without saying. You know what you need. Therefore, you pray for what you need. Therefore, you appreciate what you need. It's when you don't need it anymore, when you're full, that you need to have it. The issue with Torah is that even before you sit down to study the Torah, the question is, are we sitting down to the Torah from hunger? Are we sitting down to the Torah from hunger with an appreciation of what's coming? There's not a natural hunger. You know, we know the famous Nevuah, Hinei Yomim Boim Neum Hashem, days are coming, right, where Leirov Alechem, Leitzom Alamayim, you won't be hungry for bread or thirsty for water, Kim Lishmaya Es Divrei Hashem, but rather to hear the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That will be the hunger. You know, Rabbi Meir Kolesky, a friend of Bach, used to like to say over from Rabbi Chetzel Abramsky, who said, oh, it's good if people are hungry for the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's good. You know, that's a good sign. What does it mean? Now, of course, the simple meaning of the Nevuah is that there won't be any around. There'll be plenty of food, but there won't be the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rabbi Chetzel Abramsky used to say that the problem is that a hungry person is very hungry. You give him a little, and he's already satisfied. If there's a great hunger for the word of Hashem, people will be mistaken or more. People will be satisfied with a little. That was his drosha. But we understand generally, again, that the act of sitting down to learn, one has to generate the hunger for it. One has to show the appreciation for it. It's reminiscent of what Rashi says, was shared with you sometimes before, that when the Gemara says that everybody agrees that on Shavuos you have to celebrate with feasting. Other Yomim Tovim may be less so, but on Shavuos you have to celebrate with feasting. And Rashi says, because, you know, on Pesach we got freedom, and on Sukkot Hashem took care of us. Of course we appreciate it. Everybody knows we have a Yontif, we're happy about it. Shavuos, we went into Shavuos with 7 mitzvahs, and we came out with 613. How happy are you? Right? You aren't necessarily so happy. So therefore, you have to show that you celebrate, that you appreciate the Torah. So you have a suda, you have a meal. But again, by Birchas HaMazon, the mitzvah of uveirachta is because the tendency is, after v'savata, we've lost, in a certain sense, that lock, that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, lest you think that this is just a generality or an abstraction, in truth, it's really almost internal to the mitzvah of Birchas HaMazon that we have here in the beginning of the Torah. Why? Because what precedes the mitzvah of Birchas HaMazon is the following. It says as follows. He says that the mitzvah, I'm coming, I'm telling you, so you'll live and you'll grow in the land and inherit the land that Hashem has promised you. You remember Kol Aderach, the entire path that Hashem has helped you travel for these 40 years in the desert, L'man Anoischa, L'nasoischa, in order to afflict you and to test you, to know what's in your heart. Will you keep his mitzvahs or not? Vayancha, and he afflicted you, he deprived you. Vayarivecha, and he made you hungry. Vayachilcha es haman asher lo yodata, and he gave you the mon that you hadn't known and your forefathers hadn't. Describing the existence of the Jewish people in the Midbar. And the existence of the Jewish people in the Midbar was one of constant need. Constant need. The Gemara in Yuma, in the last parak of Maseches Yuma, where it speaks about the mon, and where it has its most extensive discussion about the mon in the context of Yom Kippur, the Gemara says that the mon was like Yom Kippur. The mon was like Yom Kippur. That's why the Pasuk describes it as the white coriander seed. Coriander seeds are black. but it was white in the sense that it was like the white of Yom Kippur. It caused people to do tshuva. Because just like on Yom Kippur, people feel like everything's on the line and it brings us to shul in droves, so too, when people went to sleep at night and they had nothing, they were in a desert, they had nothing in the pantry, they had nothing to eat, whatever mun they had from the day before, you know, melted and evaporated and disintegrated. And they turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu every night when they went to sleep and they had mouths to feed. It was like Yom Kippur davening. So it was Kisei HaKad Lovan. And the Gemara says, that's why Hashem didn't give it to the Jewish people. You know, give them a month's worth or 6 months' worth or whatever it was. They gave it to them every night. To bring you hunger. So that, indeed, in a certain sense, created the connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this to create the connection. And so he tells us that when we come to Eretz Yisrael, and when we come to a land that has everything, it's lacking nothing, then v'achalta v'savata, the term used here is you will eat and you will be satisfied and you will bless Hashem. You know, Chazal say, the Gemara says it, that same Gemara over there in Yuma says that the Jewish people who were in the desert, you know, when we were in the desert, we went and we complained about the mun. We complained about the food, right? Nafshenu yevesha ein koil bilti el hamun einenu, right? Our souls are dry. All we see is the mun, right? And the Gemara says that the mun didn't satisfy. It didn't create this thing called sphia. It didn't create this thing called satisfaction. More gives reasoning, you know, maybe because they couldn't see the food. You've thought about what it should taste, and a person's not going to be satisfied by something which they don't see. But the mun didn't create sphia, didn't create satisfaction. And now we're coming to Eretz Yisrael, a place that creates satisfaction. A place where the nisayon is, the challenges, as Rashi says, that you have all of this, and you get filled with all of this, and you build all of this, and you can forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But you understand in that context that the mun never creates satisfaction. Because in the mun, you could never forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. People ate the mun, and they finished, and they didn't need anything more. But you couldn't forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You couldn't forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu because the mun was lechem and ashamayim, was bread from the heavens. And the mun was more than that. The mun was there to teach us, as the Pasuk says, that we don't live simply by bread. We live from that which comes out from the mouth of Hashem, from the mouth of God. Now, how is that learned here? What does it mean, Al Maitza Pi Hashem, that the mun teaches us Al Maitza Pi Hashem Yichi Ha'adam? To some degree, evidently, that's the way the verse describes the mun. The mun is that which came out from the mouth of Hashem. The mun was not min ha'aretz, it wasn't from the earth, it was min ha'shamayim, lechem min ha'shamayim, bread that came from the heavens. The mun was soul food, it was something which, as the Rishonim, as the Ramban explains here and elsewhere, back in Parshas Beshalach, the mun didn't even feed the bodies of the Jewish people. It fed the souls of the Jewish people. The mun was Ziv HaShechina. The mun was the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, presented as it were in a wafer, you know, that they would eat and they would partake of. But you can't forget the Ribbono Shel Olam when you partake of the mun. If anything, when the Jewish people complained about the mun, they were complaining, as we know, about the intensity of living in such close proximity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and never being able to establish themselves some of that independence, which for our purposes tonight we are calling sevia, being full, being satisfied, having what we need so that we don't feel dependence. And we don't feel dependence on HaKadosh Baruch Hu on anything else. So let's bring together a little bit what we've discussed until this point in time. And First, we'll bring together what we discussed, and then we're going to go back to revisit the question which we asked, which we posed at the beginning. What we've been discussing over the past minutes is how Birchas HaMazon we find here in our parsha, the actual mitzvah of Yachalta v'Savata v'Irachta needs to be viewed in contrast to the Yachalta v'Savata of Kriya Shema, and in contrast to the Mon of the Desert. The Mon of the Desert was the first experience of the Jewish people after Yetzias Mitzrayim, where we ate bread that came from the heavens, bread that didn't satisfy in the physical sense, that didn't break the sense of bond or of need to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it was clear that what was sustaining us from beginning to end was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What fueled us after we had the mon was not a fullness in our stomachs, because the mon didn't feed our bodies. It was something that energized our souls. If it energizes our souls, we don't forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's called Moitza Pi Hashem, that which comes from the mouth of Hashem. But we're coming to Eretz Yisrael, and it's a wonderful thing that we're coming to Eretz Yisrael. But the land that we're coming to, the land of Eretz Yisrael that we're coming to, is a land which is blessed with so much, which we're going to have everything. It's lacking nothing, and we're going to eat and we're going to be satisfied, and there's a danger there. And so the Torah says, be on top of it. Remember, we're not living by bread, we're living by what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, and therefore bless Him. Realize that the sevia, that the satisfaction which you have, is really an expression of Maitzav Pi Hashem, of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu produced. And in fact, just to fill in a little bit of yediyah, a little bit of knowledge, there's a famous, often quoted passage from the Bach, one of the classic Paiskim commentaries on the tour, where he explains, you know, there's a very critical, very puzzling thing that we have. We make a bracha achrayna, after bracha, the shorter after bracha, the me'ein shalish, and we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bring us to Eretz Yisrael, v'necham mepriya v'nisva mituba, we should eat of its fruit and enjoy its goodness. That's what we say. And in the Torah he says, some people didn't say it. Why didn't they say it? Because in the Gemara, when it speaks of Moshe Rabbeinu and his yearning to go to Eretz Yisrael that we read about in last week's parsha, the Gemara in Saita asks, why did Moshe Rabbeinu want to go to Eretz Yisrael so much? He wanted to eat of its fruit and enjoy its goodness. That's where the expression comes from. So the Gemara says, no, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to do the mitzvahs that are only in Eretz Yisrael. But the Gemara seems to speak derisively about Moshe Rabbeinu wanting to go for the fruit and the goodness, and we pray to Hashem, take us to Eretz Yisrael, so we can enjoy its fruits and its goodness. What's going on? So the Bach explains that we are asking for that. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have to, because Moshe Rabbeinu was coming from the desert, where he was living off of the radiance of the presence of Hashem. But we who live in Chutz Loretz, we yearn to come to Eretz Yisrael and enjoy the fruits of Eretz Yisrael. Because says the Bach, the fruits of Eretz Yisrael draw from the Shechina. They draw from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Fundamentally differently than the ones in Chutz Loretz. What produces the bounty of Eretz Yisrael is more directly plugged into the source with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Shemayim. And that's why we pray that we should be able to come to Eretz Yisrael and eat the fruits which are fed by the Shechina, by the Rabbeinu Shel Olam himself, as opposed to here where we're eating the grains from Kansas, the peaches from Georgia. It's a different story, different fruit. That's how the Bach explains. And in a certain sense, that's what happens when we have this mitzvah, Achalta v'Savata v'Irachta. We're supposed to bring to Eretz Yisrael, where we would otherwise forget that this is Maitza Pi Hashem, that the food that we're eating is coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that we shouldn't, heaven forbid, fall into the trap described in Kriya Shema, where we get the rain from the heavens, and the rain from the heavens is special from Eretz Yisrael, so it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it can easily, as it waters the ground, and the ground produces, and we can easily lose sight, and we can easily forget that we're dependent and we're connected to our Kodesh Baruch. So that was, those were the sequence of the three parshios that we see here. But I want to bring this back now to the question which we posed at the beginning. And the question we posed at the beginning was that we have a bracha here, de'oraisa, where we thank Hashem after we've eaten. That's the bracha of satisfaction. So we've explained why the bracha of Birchas Hamazon comes after we eat. We've explained because that's when you have to remind yourself. That's when you have to repair the connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to tell him that even as I am satisfied, I recognize the source of this satisfaction, and therefore this satisfaction, this fullness, is not going to separate me from you, the Rabbeinu Shlomo. But we still need to come back to understand why Birchas HaTorah was made before. Why is Birchas HaTorah made before? Birchas HaTorah, so we want to show appreciation for the gift of the Torah. Maybe we should show appreciation for the gift of the Torah after we learn Torah.
Isn't it a mitzvah? What? Don't we make the bracha before we do a mitzvah?
This is the only mitzvah that the Torah tells us to make a bracha before. The other birchas ha-mitzvah that we make a bracha before doing a mitzvah is to some degree a derivation from this. The only Torah commandment to make a bracha before is benching after we eat and making a bracha before we study Torah. So the question is, why is it that? And again, and Chazal taught us over there in the Gemara I read to you at the beginning, when we attribute the Churban to the failure of the Jewish people to make a bracha before we study Torah, because we didn't appreciate sufficiently what it was before we studied it. Why does that appreciation have to come before? Okay, I understand that after studying Torah, you may not have the challenge of the savata, which is present by benching. But why, in this case, why does it have to come before? I want to suggest to you an approach. Maybe it's a little creative, but it comes out here from these psukim. Because what does it say? What does it say in the introduction to benching? What did we just see that it says in the introduction to benching? Benching comes as the ending of the parsha where HaKadosh Baruch Hu reminds us about everything which He's done for us in the desert, feeding us. And He said when He fed us the man, it was to teach us that on that which comes out from the mouth of Hashem, man is sustained. Now let me ask you, what comes out from the mouth of Hashem? The first thing which you would say, if I say what comes out from the mouth of Hashem is Torah. It requires no explanation to say what comes out from the mouth of Hashem is the Torah. If I say, you know, you have the man, and it teaches you that you're sustained by what comes out from the mouth of Hashem. You say, well, what does that mean exactly? And there's a difference of opinion. Some would say, again, on a certain mystical level, it's the man is like the breath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's something spiritual. Some would say, no. What it means is, as it says in the psukim before, the mitzvah I'm telling you to do, you should observe to do, so you should live and prosper in the land. And you'll remember the midbar. Why? Because in the midbar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took such good care of you. So you see that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to take care of you, He can take care of you. So you should do good. And that way HaKadosh Baruch Hu will want to take care of you, because the midbar showed you that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to, He can take care of you. So al mitzvah pi Hashem yichya adam, if Hashem says so, a person will live. Hashem says, I want him to live. The person will live, like he did in the midbar. It's another interpretation of what's going on. But the simplest is mitzvah pi Hashem, is the word of Hashem, is the source of life. The Torah of HaKadosh Baruch is the source of life. And in fact, that's what they were just saying in the next room. What did they say? They said Birchas HaTorah. When we daven Shachris and Mariv, we say a bracha before studying Torah. Did you know that? When we study Torah during Shachris and Mariv? Shema. Kriya Shema is a sample of the Torah. In fact, it is in the parsha of Kriya Shema that we learn that we're supposed to study Torah every morning and every night. V'shinantum l'necha v'dibartabam. You should teach them to your children and speak in them when you go to sleep and when you get up. And from there we learn you should study Torah every day and every night. And some say, you know, when we read Kriya Shema, it's to at least make sure that we have some study of Torah in the day and in the night. And Chazal established the brachas of Kriya Shema. One bracha about the sun and the moon and the stars and the night and the day. And okay, fine, very nice. But another bracha, the bracha of Ava Rabba, or Avas Olam, where we speak about Hashem choosing the Jewish people, where we speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'hoyer einenu b'sayra secha v'davik libeinu b'mitzvay secha, illuminate us with your Torah. You taught us the Torah. HaBoicher ba'ama Yisrael sounds like Asher bochar banu mikol ha'amim, which is the bracha you make over the Torah. In fact, in halacha, that halacha is true, that, you know, yes, as you pointed out before, in the Siddur, we say Birchas HaTorah first thing in the morning. Let's say a person comes late to davening, or whatever it is, or other circumstances, a person's all up all night, all kinds of situations, a person doesn't say Birchas HaTorah in the morning, and they daven. When they say HaBocher Rama Yisrael Dava, the Bracha of Ava Rava, and then they say Kriya Shema, they can fulfill the obligation of saying the Bracha over the Torah. And tonight at Marid, when they say Avas Olam Beis Yisrael, a bracha before Kriya Shema, a bracha over the Torah, Torah u'mitzvos, chukim u'mishpatim, my son u'limarata, you taught us Torah, you taught us the chukim, the laws, the mishpatim, the rules. And we say, so Hashem, when we go to sleep, when we go up, we want to speak, we get up, we want to speak in your Torah, we want to rejoice. Ki heim chayeno, because that's our life. That's the length of our days. Al-Maitza pi Hashem. That which comes from the mouth of God, that is what gives a person life. That's what grants a person life. That's what we say over here in the Pasuk. So in a certain sense, this parsha is about the Torah sustaining us, not the monk sustaining us. So we have the parsha of the Torah sustaining us. And you're going to come to Eretz Yisrael, and you're going to eat the food, and the food is going to sustain you. And you're going to have to make a bracha afterwards to attribute that food to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki lo al lechem yevada yichye ha'adam, ki al komeitza pi Hashem yichye ha'adam. So I wanted to suggest to you something very simple, and that is that the bracha we make before learning is to remind ourselves that what we're about to study is Maitzah Pi Hashem, is that which came from the word of Hashem, from the mouth of Hashem. A person who makes a bracha and says, blessed are you Hashem who gave us this Torah, instead of just opening up the Gemara and reading what the Gemara says, what that person is doing is they're connecting the word of the Torah to the mouth of God. And that was the failure over there in the time of the bias. That's what's described as the failure. People can learn the Torah. People can observe the Torah. And people can somehow miss God in the picture. There's such a thing as observance and study without it being connected to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, without it being Maitzah Pi Hashem. And so Chazal read the Torah and they understood that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put on us a requirement that before we study the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we recognize it as the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not at risk of being severed after we learn Torah, that we're somehow full of ourselves, you know, satisfied, and therefore not turning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not a severance. The issue is whether in the study of Torah, which is there in order to forge a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the study of Torah, which is supposed to provide for us an alternate fuel, an alternate life source, the Kihem Chayenu, the Al Kol Maitza Pi Hashem Yichye HaAdam, if we study it first, and then afterwards we say, oh, that's very nice, let's thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for it. We didn't experience it in that moment as the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Chazal tell us that that's what we need to do. We need to do it before. That's the way they read the Torah. Al-Maitza Pi Hashem Yichye HaAdam. And that's a recognition which comes in advance. When we live instead in a world which is the material world, Eretz Yisrael, even Eretz Yisrael, is a material world that to some degree is sustained by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we're living in the material world and we're approaching things with a hunger, and the hunger, if anything, indeed forges our connection, it's the lack of physicality that forges the connection that the person has with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then we're satisfied. So we have to turn around and somehow attribute that satisfaction. Attribute that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not creating the force. That's the lechem. The lechem which comes min ha'aretz. And it's just to come back and to plug into the fact that we didn't have it by ourselves. It came from the Ribbono Shel Olam. But it's not going to change its essence. It's still food, physical food, which is sustaining us, and physical food, which therefore, to some degree, draws us away from the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Torah is not going to draw us away from the Ribbono Shel Olam. The question is whether it will bring us into His presence. And that's Almoav the Horetz. Because we didn't start with the encounter the way it needed to be, the encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. The Gemara says that when Rabbi Gamliel died, Botla Kavod HaTorah, the honor of Torah ended. The Gemara says, what does that mean? Because until the days of Rabbi Gamliel, when people studied Torah, they stood. They stood because they experienced Har Sinai. And they felt that they were hearing the words coming out from the mouth of Hashem. Oh, when you hear the words coming out from the mouth of Hashem, you're not sitting. You're standing. This Shabbos, we stood for the Aseres HaDibros. People don't stand for a whole lot. We stood for the Aseres HaDibros because Aseres HaDibros, we heard the words coming out from the mouth of Hashem. And we're reenacting that. So, we stand, but when it came to the time of Rabbi Gamliel, the honor of the Torah was gone. We stopped seeing it. We learned Torah. We studied Torah. But we sat down. It wasn't an encounter with the divine. And that's what Yirmiyahu HaNavi is saying. Al Moav Da'aretz, Al Azva Mes Torasi. We studied the Torah, but it wasn't an encounter with the divine. And Torah study for itself, there's a value to it. Chazal tells us there's a light there which will eventually bring us back, no matter what. The light that's in the Torah will eventually bring people back. But there's a value to understand this is Maitzav Pi Hashem. This is what's coming out of Hashem. This in itself, Kihem Chayeno. This in itself is the breath of life. This in itself is what gives us Chiyus. Chazal tells us when Hashem spoke to us at Har Sinai, on the one hand we were knocked out by the spiritual encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but on the other hand Hashem's word that we did hear breathed into us a new life. And that's Birchas HaTorah. And Birchas HaMazon. Birchas HaTorah is because Torah has to be made from the beginning encountered as a spiritual meeting, as this is not just wisdom, this is not just enlightening, this is the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's keeping us alive. We have no such illusions when we eat bread. When we eat bread, we're filling ourselves, taking away need, taking away dependence from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As spiritual as you're going to make the bread is still bread min ha'aretz. It's still bread which comes from the earth. Hashem is behind it someplace. It's like the difference between studying science and lahavdil, studying Torah. They're both from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? But when you study science, you study something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu built. When you study Torah, you're meeting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why the Mishnah tells us a person who stops learning and looks out and admires nature, even though it's something to admire nature, but you can't, but you're in the middle of talking to Hashem, you can't turn and admire nature. The food, the bread, whatever it is, It's not a spiritual encounter. When we make a bracha before, we make a bracha, okay, we have to acknowledge before we take something from Hashem. But we're not going to turn the bread into something. We got something from Hashem, and now that we're full and we have it, we have to remind ourselves, you know, this came from Hashem. The Torah we have to make into Mitzvah Hashem. We have to frame it to begin with. If we made a bracha on the mon after we finished eating it, because v'achalta v'salata v'achalta, we'd never make it. Because we wouldn't be. We wouldn't have the satisfaction. The bracha on the mon was a bracha rishayna. Now it's written in Gaina, just to, you always say this, a cute thing. What bracha did they make on the mon? Baruch at Hashem, okay, machalam, hamaytzi lechem min hashamayim. Because that's what the pasuk calls it. It was lechem min hashamayim. I don't know, I wonder if maybe because man has to have a bracha rishayna. You have to know when you're encountering the spirit and that's what it is that's feeding you, that's what it is that's sustaining you. That's the idea which I wanted to share with you tonight. Both are necessary. But in a sense, when we look at, as the Ran describes it, things could be so right. You look around, people say, what's wrong? I don't understand. Everybody's doing their mitzvahs. Everybody's studying Torah. So why if everything's so right, why is everything so wrong? If everything's so right, why is everything so wrong? The answer is, al shalei berchu b'Torah t'chila. They're doing it, but they're not starting with an understanding that this is an encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is something which is derived directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We go about our lives, we get filled, we get satisfied, and when we're finished, we say, Rabbi Nachman, by the way, thank you. Right? We maintain some kind of a link. But the Amoitza Pi Hashem Yichi HaAdam is what makes for that much more. We should be zecha to hear and to feel the word and the breath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it should, as a Hashem, sustain us in strength and health of me, as Hashem.